Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson. It is November 18th, 2015, and here's a look at our top stories.
Tonight, the enemy within. Nearly 70 men and women with ISIS-related terror plots on American soil have been arrested, including refugees. Meanwhile, hundreds of guns, including grenade launchers and M4 rifles, have been lost or stolen from Bay Area police departments. Then,
we are at war with radical Islamic terrorism.
Jeb Bush says he wants to be the leader of the free world. And he also wants American soldiers on the ground in Iraq and Syria.
We need to intensify our efforts in the air and on the ground.
Plus, in the aftermath of the Paris massacre, Americans rush to buy guns as authorities warn of impending terrorist attacks at home. All that plus much more up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Clean, pure drinking water. You can't survive without it. But where do you get it? Alexa Pure Pro is a brand new groundbreaking gravity-fed water filtration system that is like no other. The Alexa Pure Pro transforms water from virtually any fresh source into clean, healthy drinking water, pairing the unprecedented superfiltration power of an all-new gravity block core with a hybrid chromatic shell. It removes up to 99.999% of impurities, including bacteria, viruses, fluoride, disinfectants, volatile organic contaminants, and hormones. Filter capacity up to 5,000 gallons. Stainless steel construction. Easy assembly. Low maintenance. Replacement filters are simple to install. And now, as part of an exclusive limited-time introductory offer, you can save $20 off the retail price and get free shipping. This is a limited-time offer, so order your unit today and receive free shipping and $20 off. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139.
Now, coming up later in our show, we'll have a special report and news blitz from Leanne McAdoo and also a report from Joe Biggs, who's on the ground in Paris, France. And let's start off the show by talking about Paris, and in particular, what to do with all these Syrian refugees. The Obama administration has said that they want to bring a very large amount, tens of thousands of Syrian refugees, here to the United States. Now, we already have some here. There's an article that's out in local Dallas News talking about how Dallas has a growing Syrian population. Multiple governors, including our governor here in the state of Texas, Greg Abbott, has said, you know, let's kind of back off this for right now. Many other governors have joined suit, said, hey, we don't want the Syrian refugees here. Now, first of all, let me say this. I definitely understand that there is a reason why people are coming from Syria in such mass numbers. That is the Syrian conflict that's going on over there. And it's not exclusively the United States' fault, but the United States is a very large contributor to the violence that's going on there. When you consider how we've been arming groups like Al-Qaeda who are going around, well, first of all, Al-Qaeda, who is known AKA by this term Syrian refugees, are going around killing people, burning down villages, chopping off Christians' heads, setting people on fire, all these things that you've seen in the videos that have come out over the past couple of years. They've been launching chemical attacks. Then Obama gets on TV and says it was the Assad regime, not vouching for Assad at all. But you can see in the video that they showed on multiple major news outlets here in the States, it had the Al-Qaeda watermark on the video, just like you watch something, let's say you're watching CBS, you're watching a CBS football game, right? It has the CBS logo in the corner. They had the Al-Qaeda logo on the video, but they said it was Assad. That's just how dumb they think the American people are. So with that said, I understand that the U.S. is a contributor to violence in places like Syria, Yemen, Pakistan, many other places as well. And people want to leave those areas because they are in legitimate fear for their safety. So they want to come here or other places, but this is a very large target for them. But then the question comes about, how are we going to go about vetting such large numbers of people? You know, tens of thousands at a time. How do you do that? Because you think about some type of background check here in the States, right? You're in some type of database. We all are, whether it's FBI database, you know, NSA, whatever. They can do some check on you and see, okay, this is so-and-so. He was born on this date in this hospital in this city to these parents. You can't really do that with people who are basically going off the honor system and saying, hey, my name is, you know, John Brown, and I'm from such-and-such village in Syria. And then they just have to take their word for it. They can't really scrub a database and find out who these people are. Also, the top advisors in Washington are saying, Mr. President, we can't vouch for all these people that you want to bring in such big numbers. Not saying that we should close the door to them. We just have to find some way to work around it. And as I said earlier, we need to hold the politicians accountable who are making situations worse in these countries. And with Obama, of course, we know Yemen, Pakistan, Mexico, states or places that have had repeated drone strikes blowing up churches, drone strikes blowing up wedding parties. In Mexico, they're running guns, giving guns to Mexican drug cartels. So I can understand the people in those locations wanting to come here to the United States for safety. And there are other issues and things going on in those countries as well. Also, the Bush administration, Iraq, depleted uranium, people having poison in their lungs, people becoming poisoned, having sick children. It's not just for the people over there. The people who come back home are fighting men and women, Gulf War syndrome. Many people attribute to the depleted uranium, and also Reagan with Iran-Contra making the situation worse down in Central America, South America. People are still feeling those ill effects to this day. So, of course, people want to go someplace where they consider it to be much safer. But in the meantime, you have politicians who use your tax dollars to go make countries worse. And then when the people want to come here, they want you to use your tax dollars again to accommodate people. And I'm not, like I said when I started the broadcast, I'm not touting a closed door policy. I'm saying that the politicians who are making these situations worse need to be held accountable for their actions. These people are not taking pay cuts. They're not allowing people to live on their private ranches or in their Chicago penthouses or anything else. They want you, the American taxpayer, to mess up your finances and fund. I don't even want to call them their mistakes, because they knew what they were doing. They knew that this was going to blow back on it some way or the other, and they just want you to pay for it. So there is no one-size-fits-all to this that I can see, but I think what we really need to start doing is just hold the politicians accountable who made things worse in the first place. Now, with that said, I'm going to go on to my articles here, and we'll talk about the threats that are already in the United States of America. America's enemies within, how nearly 70 have been arrested in America over ISIS plots. It says U.S. authorities have charged at least 66 men and women with ISIS-related terror plots on American soil, including a handful of refugees. President Obama insists that slamming the door in Syrian refugees fleeing ISIS would be a betrayal of American values, while he funds al-Qaeda rebels and sends drones to blow up innocent people. But 34 governors are refusing to take any more in case jihadi fighters slip into the states and repeat the carnage of Paris. And if you scroll down through the article, you can see the people who are listed as those suspects. And as I keep repeating, I can't say enough, I don't have a closed door policy, but we need to have some way to vet the people that are coming here. If that means taking resources, let's say we just take the NSA and have them run background checks, fine. Let them do something actual useful instead of just spying on you through your Xbox video camera. And as we talk about the situation going on in Paris, many people are saying that, hey, Paris is a largely disarmed area. If people had firearms, they'd be able to at least fire off a shot. So Americans are seeing this. They say, we don't want to be victims of this. So they're going out and buying numbers or guns in very vast numbers. That's pretty much always happens after a gun-related incident, whether that be domestic or abroad. People realize that despite the best efforts of the police, they had something on the line today. I think it was on Drudge, matter of fact. It was a lady who they called a RoboCop. I mean, she was tacked up from head to toe. They said she even had some bulletproof goggles on. And as awesome, and I'm sure that lady is, she wasn't there to protect the people, not knocking the cops. I'm just saying you need to have a means to protect yourself. So now we have Americans rush to buy guns in the wake of Paris attacks. Gun sales and concealed carry permit applications in the U.S. have spiked in the days following the terror attacks in Paris, according to gun store owners. And while guns are going off the shelves, guns are also going missing. And we have the article, hundreds of guns lost or stolen from Bay Area authorities. And these include grenade launchers, sniper rifles, and M4 rifles.
A four-month-long investigation by NBC Bay Area uncovered hundreds of police-issued weapons lost or stolen and put back onto our streets during the last 5 years.
They aren't being stolen by legal residents or people who otherwise can go into a gun store and purchase guns. They're being stolen by criminals to be used by criminals to be used in crimes.
From those agencies alone, we found 58 guns that have been lost or stolen in the last 5 years.
And earlier in the broadcast, I was talking about the Bush family, their exploits in places like Iraq. And now we see Jeb in the never-ending war. Jeb Bush, the long-shot presidential nominee, wants more Americans on the ground in Iraq.
The United States should not delay in leading a global coalition to take out ISIS with overwhelming force. We need to intensify our efforts in the air and on the ground. While air power is essential, it cannot bring the results we seek. The United States, in conjunction with our NATO allies and more Arab partners, will need to increase our presence on the ground. Here's the truth you will not hear from our president. We are at war with radical Islamic terrorism.
You know, when I was a kid, I remember going to class one day and they're talking about flu shots. And the teacher told us that, you know, you can go get a flu shot, but it also increases your chances of getting the flu. And I was like, well, how does that make sense? I thought the flu shot was supposed to cure you of the flu, but we all know it injects the virus into you that can make you just as sick. And people call you an anti-vaxxer or, you know, tinfoil hat wearer. No, I'm somebody who lives in a reality where you can go to Walgreens, you can go to CVS, you can go get a vaccine insert handed to you by a medical professional, and it reads, hey, this vaccine can give you symptoms including but not limited to diarrhea, nausea, and vomiting. With that said, I try to avoid the flu shot. I try to, you know, eat chicken noodle soup if I feel sick, drink orange juice, get plenty of exercise, sunshine, all the good stuff. And I want everybody to think about this. Just take a moment and jog this around in your brain. You've ever been watching TV and you've seen like a drug recall commercial? If you've taken such and such drug between this state and this state, call in now to be part of our class action lawsuit. You've seen those commercials. Now, if you're taking a pill or you're taking some type of syrup, cough syrup or whatever, you can stop taking it and then go join the lawsuit. But if you're taking a vaccine, whatever's in your body is already in there and it is not coming out. And now we have this Uber. Uber is going to drive around and give you a flu shot. Once again, as I say, I try to avoid the flu shot for the reasons that I just told you. But if you choose to do it, that's your business. But here's a special report warning you about potential side effects.
Are you one of the 80% of Americans that didn't get your flu shot yet? Well, Uber, the company that eventually wants to take away your ability to drive, has a solution. That's right, they're offering on-demand flu shots to your doorstep. Uber has teamed with Passport Health and Epidemico, a data mining company owned by Booz Allen Hamilton, to provide flu shots right to your door. That's right, now you can have aluminum, mercury, and other adjuvants injected into your arm in the comfort of your own home. And remember, the flu shot was only 18% effective last year, so this year's numbers can only get better. Or can they? Uber Health provided more than 2,000 vaccinations last year, and this year, they're going to have up to 10,000 flu shots available, with hundreds of nurses ready in Uber vehicles across the country. But it's only one day. You can read more about it and Booz Allen Hamilton at InfoWars.com. Rob Dew reporting. And sign up for our newsletter at InfoWars.com/insider.
Patriot Act. You know, it sounds very patriotic, doesn't it? And now we have the Freedom Act, something that you would think would make you more free, but is exactly the opposite. The people who continue to fail to keep us safe just say that they need more power in which to do it. You know, like, think of it about this way. You know, let's say you go to a pool or whatever, right? You have a lifeguard, and the lifeguard fails to save somebody from drowning because they're messing on their phone or whatever else. You don't say, let's hire 10 new lifeguards. You say, let's fire this guy and put somebody else in that can do his job. But it doesn't seem to work like that in American politics or in the American surveillance system, because their answer to everything is give us more MRAPs, give us more heavy body armor, give us more tear gas, give us more video cameras, and we will keep you safe. Of course, we know for all the surveillance and all these other things, whether it's here in the United States, it's abroad in Paris or anyplace else, a lot of times all we end up with is a lot of just video of the incident that happened. Having video doesn't all the time stop the situation. And a lot of times the video that you see, even in these Paris attacks, have been just amateur photographers or journalists or other people who were on the scene at the time. It wasn't CCTV video cameras, and even if they have it on camera, they just have the guys running in to respond to the situation. But all that to say this, a Republican senator from Arkansas has submitted a bill that would extend the NSA's ability to collect Americans' phone metadata by more than a year. Tom Cotton insisted that last week's terror attacks in Paris proved the value of such spying. Cotton said, "Now is not the time to sacrifice our national security for political talking points. We should allow the intelligence community to do their job and provide them with the tools they need to keep us safe. Once again, when we talk about surveillance, we talk about the NSA, we talk about any number of things. The NSA can stop attack on their own building. You see police departments happen here in Austin. You've seen it happen in Dallas. Police departments being shot up by, you know, crazy people. Now, once again, I'm not knocking the police when I say that. I'm saying you can have all the surveillance and the MRAPs and all this other stuff. All it takes is one crazy guy to go out there and really kick up some stuff, and it paralyzes people, even paralyzes the people who are supposed to be the first responders. Once again, not knocking them. I'm saying sometimes they get caught with their pants down. So that's why we're such advocates of being able to have your privacy, such advocates of being able to defend yourself. So when these attacks do come, you can have some type of chance, because I'm a very strong believer that begging and mercy should be your last resort, not your first line of defense. Now, we're going to end on this before we go on to more special reports in our later segments. Texas ranchers county sue feds over BLM land grab, claiming the U.S. Bureau of Land Management is violating citizens' Fourth and Fifth Amendments and infringing upon the sovereignty of local county governments. A lawsuit has been filed in the U.S. District Court by 9 private landowners, including one county sheriff, in addition to multiple counties. And they're basically saying that the feds are overextending their reach, as the feds often do. And we've seen the BLM previously in places like the Bundy Ranch. Regardless of what you think about the Bundys, if you think they're welfare ranchers, whatever, the BLM were the people out there who were tasing people, throwing women to the ground. They said they're out there for the tortoises and for the wildlife while they're busy shooting Bundy's cows and throwing them into a ditch. You know, it doesn't sound like any type of pet activist that PETA would be very proud of. Now, stay tuned. We'll be back right after this break with more special reports. We have John Bound, Leanne McAdoo, and, of course, Joe Biggs.
Did you know that only 6 corporations control 90% of what millions of Americans see, hear, and read every single day? It's the illusion of choice. Think about it. The mainstream media is owned by only a handful of mega corporations with vested interests. But on the other hand, the internet is an interconnected network of billions of sources. So you can research information for yourself from multiple sources, or you can blindly accept what you hear or read in the mainstream media, never questioning what you are being told. This gives you a false sense of reality. I mean, do you actually know what you think you know? Or have you been programmed to accept someone else's version of events? Think about it. This is Darren McBreen, and I want you to break the matrix at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv.
Shane Steiner's involvement with InfoWarsLife.com truly happened in an organic way. I went to high school with Shane, his brother, knew his parents well. And he was visiting the office once, hadn't been to the office in years, and said, "Wow, I notice you're making and selling supplements. Do these really work? Because I've tried a lot of supplements as a workout enthusiast, and I really think most of them are hype." And I said, "Here, take some home, try it." Well, a few weeks later, he came in blown away and said, "I want to buy 3 boxes of this stuff to give my friends and family. It's simply amazing." He said, "Why does it work so well?" And I said, "Listen, go to InfoWarsLife.com, watch the informational videos with Dr. Group and others. They understand how it all works. I know that it works for me. That's all I understand. The science, the facts, the research, people's testimonials, they're all on InfoWarsLife.com. You can check it out for yourself."
I wanted to go to the gym. I wanted to push myself and work out harder. And that led to me being able to come out and do stuff like the barefooting and the surfing and stuff like that, which what I would never done. I never would have done that 2 years ago.
Shane has said over and over again, more than just libido and energy, it made him want to get into the gym more. It made him want to get in better shape. And believe me, the Steiners have amazing genetics. His brother is a world champion steer wrestler. His dad, Bobby Steiner, is a famous world champion bull rider. They've got natural genetics. But when you added this to the mix, in Shane's own words, it took him to the next level. Shane noticed the mental clarity. Bobby was able to work out longer and gain muscle mass. He's already completely shredded. I gotta admit, for me, the biggest effect has been libido. Now, I've never claimed to have a body like some beach model, but back when I was 20, 22 years old and worked out every day, I looked great. But over the years, and being married, having three kids, and working 18 hours a day, I gained basically 100 pounds. And it's been a long process losing that weight in the last 4 years. But if you look at the photos and the videos of what I looked like 4 or 5 years ago versus today, the results are dramatic. I'd already cleaned up my diet. I was working out hard, but I'd only lost about 20 pounds. It was adding the other key ingredients from InfoWarsLife.com that helped me personally go to the next level and shed another 35 pounds.
This has actually made me feel so good that here lately, about a year ago, I started training jiu-jitsu, and that kind of led to doing some boxing and kickboxing. I mean, it's amazing that 2 years ago, I was on the couch and couldn't even tie my shoes, and now I'm training with MMA fighters and just doing stuff that I never thought that I would be doing ever again. So Super Male Vitality has allowed me to do some amazing things, and if it has those kind of effects for me, I know that it will do great things for you. So just try Super Male Vitality. I promise you, you'll love it.
And finally, let's look at Anthony Gucciardi, InfoWars.com reporter. He also works with Dr. Group and others, helping develop the newest, most cutting-edge, high-quality supplements. Let's take a look at what happened when he tried to barefoot ski for the first time with the Steiners. And remember, we're not making fun of him. He had the will to get in the arena, and he's lost more than 10 pounds in the last few years of fat and gained more than 10 pounds of muscle. And Anthony chalks it up to Super Male Vitality as well. Bottom line, folks, you want to discover the power of Super Male Vitality and Super Female Vitality for yourself by visiting InfoWarsLife.com today or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
And welcome back. We're joined now by Leanne McAdoo with a news blitz. Leanne, what do you have there?
Jakari, you know, I just wanted to bring this story up because here we are. We're trying to vote in the next leader of the free world. They're supposed to uphold the Constitution. And here we have the Democratic frontrunner, Hillary Clinton, is already going after the First Amendment, and she hasn't even been elected. Clinton is going after the Laugh Factory comedians because they made a video making fun of her.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Now making fun of a presidential candidate?
Oh, my good. I mean, so Saturday Night Live is going to be in trouble. Not Funny or Die. They're going to be fine because they're always pushing that leftist agenda. They'll be quite all right. So this is a video. It's a very short performance. It's like less than 3 minutes. It's posted on their website of the Laugh Factory. It's a renowned comedy club. So the Clinton campaign is trying to censor it. Besides demanding that the video be taken down, they've also demanded the personal contact information of the performers that appear in the recording. So the owner there of the Laugh Factory said, "I've never had a call like this, threatening to put me out of business if I don't cut the video."
No, actually threatening to put the owner out of business.
Yeah, take it down. And so this, so let me just tell you the extent of this. Oh, it's so the video makes fun of Clinton's wardrobe, her age, sexual orientation, the Monica Lewinsky scandal, and the former First Lady's relationship with her famous husband, which is pretty much everything that we do here. And
yeah, I mean, it's nothing unique because you talk about the late night guys, you talk about Saturday Night Live, mm-hmm. you know, all these talk show guys. It's nothing new to make fun of a presidential contender or anybody who's famous enough to make right. it in the news cycle.
It's par for the course. And you'll recall that just a few weeks ago when the GOP debate, they were really upset with the way that the moderators were treating them. And then Obama comes out afterwards saying, oh, they can't handle the tough questions. They can't handle, you know, they take things too seriously. Mm-hmm. So here we have, this is how the left does. It's like the pot calling the kettle black, basically. Obama has also lashed out again at Republicans over their offensive and hysterical rhetoric with the way that they're talking about not allowing Syrian refugees into the country. And he brings this up again, saying, you know, first they were too scared of the press being too tough on them in the debates. Now they're scared of three-year-old orphans. That doesn't seem so tough to me. So, you know, it's okay for him to make fun of these presidential contenders and basically calling them out, saying that they're afraid of babies and things like that, which obviously he said this before the woman suicide bomber.
Yes. The audacity of this guy that he would arm Al-Qaeda rebels, send them to places like Syria, like Libya to go and kill people, and then just wants to come up here and make a joke about it. It's really disgusting. I mean, just to hear that. I'm dead serious. I'm really disappointed that he would say something like that.
Well, he doesn't
just given his own track record.
Oh, exactly. And well, he doesn't have to worry. He's not running anymore. So he's done. So now he can finally start speaking out, saying things, you know, that he would never say in the past. And finally, the media is starting to shift to where they'll actually attack him, which is, they always do that whenever the outgoing president's there, mm-hmm. when they don't have to worry about, you know, getting the inside track there at the White House press corps. They can finally start making fun of the president and doing things like that, but not Hillary Clinton, because she's the incoming one. And if you make a comedic video, then by golly, it's going to be taken down. But again, you know, this is how that sort of leftist ideology shuts down any dissent. And they don't have a problem calling you out, or like we have these Mizzou student protesters right after the Paris attacks. So the night it's happening, and of course that's something that starts trending on Twitter immediately, mm-hmm. pray for Paris. They start with the hashtag F Paris and pray for Mizzou, and how dare you start talking about the white, you know, it's a white attack when there are black people being killed on campuses, or there are black people that are stuck in their rooms.
Like there are no black people in
down.
Paris.
Well, there was plenty of black people and Muslims that were killed in that attack.
Yeah.
So, but that's, you know, it's just immediately they just, obviously they don't understand the geography there of France and how diverse it is. So they're immediately saying, oh, it's just the white man's terrorist attack.
Well, and one thing that you brought up to me earlier this week, I thought was a very excellent point. We had gone out there to talk to people. And before that, they said that it's pretty much a media blackout. We don't want to talk to anybody if we come. You know, we can get muscles to come and shove you out of the community, yeah. and all this stuff. So right after saying we don't want media here, media turns the camera to focus on Paris. Like, hey, everybody, come bring your cameras over here and focus on what we're doing. And it's not saying that the Mizzou or the racism issue isn't important. Yeah, of course, we know there is racism in this country. But when you say get the hell out of here and people get the hell out of there, and now you're saying come in here and just focus on us, that's just childish, honestly.
Well, and now there's this whole new thing that I'm seeing is the First Amendment or free speech the new All Lives Matter? So whenever you say, hey, I have the right to say this or whatever on campus by saying, you know, freedom of speech, you're basically saying All Lives Matter, which the Black Lives Matter movement takes to be as racist. But don't worry about that, Ja'Cory Jackson. That, you know, that kind of thing is not going to be happening too much longer, because they are really taking care of this white privilege. It will be stamped out on college campuses. The University of Vermont is holding a privilege retreat for students who self-identify as white. So now it's not even, there's like no.
Oh, so is it like that one lady who's self-identified as black? Yeah,
right.
Okay.
Or Sean King, who it's, you know, he's most likely white, one of these Black Lives Matter movement, but he self-identifies as black. And so here it is. There's no reality, you know, no scientific, biological reality. It's just now how we all self-identify. So now they're having these, it's a 3-day retreat so students can confront their white privilege. And it's only for students who self-identify as white. And some of the questions, tough questions are going to be asked, like, what does it mean to be white? And how does whiteness impact you? And they're basically hoping that they will come to recognize and understand white privilege from an individual experience. So who are these self-loathing people who are, like, signing up for this retreat so that they can go and join these protests and then be segregated into another room because they're white, even though they're the allies of the Black Lives Matter movement? Mm-hmm. So it's like, hate yourself. And then come and join our protest, and then we are now going to stamp out your privilege and let you know what a jerk you are because you just so happen to be born a certain skin color. It's just like this circular racism that's coming around.
It, you know, it's a very interesting thing because we've been to many rallies, not just Black Lives Matter, but, you know, anything, abortion, whatever. And you see so many people there of every age, sex, race, whatever, even sexual orientation. And they can come together under a common cause to do something good. But when I see people, they purposely segregate, as you're pointing out here. We don't want you here. If you come here, you got to go stand over there in the mm-hmm. corner. It's just completely ridiculous.
Or they had last year, they busted out the rules for white protesters. I mean, and here you are at a protest. You're at a rally where free speech, the First Amendment, should rule, and they're basically telling white people specifically how, you know, they have to keep their mouth shut, not speak to the media, this and that, which I understand to a certain degree. You know, you want to have the Black Lives movement be the front of the, they're speaking with the media, but to tell people that, you know, they have to keep their hands down, they can't put their hands up when they're your allies, they're trying to be there in solidarity.
And it's really changed a lot, because from the time, you know, I guess it really kicked up when we were in Ferguson. We were there, and there were white people, Black people, and all that. And, you know, the white people were speaking on camera just like the Black people were, to show that it wasn't just Black people out there. Of course, you know, it's Black Lives Matter, but it was, you know, white people and Asian people and, you know, Hispanic people just coming together, like I said, under a common cause. But it just seems like it's fragmented into just deep segregation.
Absolutely. And that is divide and conquer. That's how you will lose. If we all come together like people want, and like we were starting to when the whole situation with Ferguson came about, there was some real change that was going to happen. But now it is just so flooded with all these ridiculous protests, Black Lives Matter moves in everywhere, that it's oversaturated and people don't care anymore. And then now they're just calling you entitled brats. But one last thing I just wanted to point out, just within regards to this hashtag activism, we know a lot of people change their profile pictures on social media to the colors of the Parisian flag. Well, now we have a cosmetic company who's facing backlash because they were selling blue, white, and red nail polish, and they marketed it as an effortless way to pay respects. So, as if it couldn't get any more effortless by just changing your profile picture, now you can just paint your nails. And
I can't recall the source. I don't want to go too deep into it, but I remember seeing something about people saying it was offensive to change your profile picture to the flag, or put a flag over your face to show
you're going to change it to the flag of every nation that's been terrorized.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just like, you can't please some people. You know, people just wanted to do something nice. So if anybody who was in the area could see that and just try to relate to it, but you can't do anything nice anymore. Thank you so much, Leanne McAdoo. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this with more special reports.
Dr. Group joins us for the balance of this hour to talk about solutions. We have them up every couple of weeks. We have been trying to launch this for the last year. We got all of the organic ingredients to do it, and we've come up with a new Living Defense Harmful Organism Cleansing Dietary Supplement, and it is extremely affordable. It is brimming with the capsules, and the way I read the facts, this could do a cleanse for really a family of four or five people. Dr. Group, let's just get into the product now and then into parasites themselves, what folks really want to hear about in the next segment. But thank you for developing this for InfoWarsLife.com. Tell us about Living Defense and why it's so special.
Well, it's really special because it's part of the problem that we're dealing with today. When the earth becomes sick and the earth soils become acidic and the internal bodies become acidic because of all the toxic food in the air and the beverages that people are consuming, it sets up an environment that's ripe for harmful organisms to live, either on the earth, that's why a lot of the plants are infested with harmful organisms, or inside the body. And years ago, we linked every single disease process to an overgrowth of organisms in the body. And when people hear the word parasite, which the FDA does not like us to use, they actually came down on us and made us take the word parasite off everywhere, because we were exposing what the globalists have been doing, spreading these parasites and creating this environment, which is great for them to live in, for years and years and years, because they know they drain us of energy, they make us sick. So we had to actually change the word parasite to harmful organism. And when we talk about harmful organisms, it's the definition, actually, the medical definition of parasite is any harmful organism that lives off of a host mechanism. Most people just think parasites are worms, but harmful organisms are bacteria, viruses that you can get through flu shots, funguses, yeast. We literally have an epidemic going on right now with molds and fungus and yeast living in everybody's body.
This is something that I heard about over a decade ago. I didn't really believe. I did one of these cleanses or invasive organism or harmful organism cleanses. It really hurt a lot, but it did do a lot. With this, this was not painful like some other cleanses I've done. The product is available at InfoWarsLife.com. I've always read and heard that just one of the ingredients, black walnuts, is really good at flushing parasites, and that, you know, animals out in the fields eat them and stuff to naturally do this. We do cleanses on our dogs, our cats, our horses, our cows. Why not us?
Well, because they don't want you to know about that you need to do a parasite or a harmful organism cleanse. That's the thing. It's so secretive. And when we were doing our research into the root cause of every single disease, there's been plenty of proof.
The statistics are clear. 9 out of 10 people are infested with harmful organisms like parasites. Parasites can be transmitted by people, pets, food, and the environment, and so many other sources. Once parasites have made it inside your body, they steal your nutrients and release toxic waste. They use the bathroom inside of you. It's time to start eliminating toxic and harmful organisms from your body. Introducing Living Defense, the new harmful organism cleanser by InfoWarsLife.com. Living Defense uses wildcrafted organic herbs to help naturally cleanse harmful organisms from the body. We are expected to sell out of this very, very quickly. This is our limited first-time run. So visit InfoWarsLife.com today to try Living Defense today while supplies last. We take you now live to northern Paris, in medieval Paris, oldest part of the city, founded by the Romans more than 2,100 years ago, then in Gaul, where Joe Biggs, former Army Staff Sergeant, combat vet, is reporting on the front lines. I call this combat journalism, Joe. You're right there. You got the tips. You were there right after the raid today before anybody else. Congratulations to you and Mr. Zimmerman. Tell us what you witnessed.
Well, actually, when we got there, they had pushed off a lot of people. And there was a lot of press, probably over 100 people. But they were in this whole little area, just like we've seen, in Ferguson, things like
that.
That's
what I meant. You're the only ones that got it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So what happened is we got there and I'm looking around. I'm like, there's got to be another way that we can get around and find out what's going on. Like, that just doesn't make sense. They're not going to have every corner blocked off. So we hiked, blocks and blocks and went down every corridor through every little alleyway. And every time we were met by police, they would push us out of the way. And then eventually I got to one and I just sat there for a little while. We shot a video and Zimmerman started uploading it. And then when I looked over my shoulder to go see if there was anybody still there, the police had moved away for a little bit. So I ran down this alleyway, and at that point, that's when I saw the body laying on the ground. They had this forensics team all around it, and they were taking pictures, and there was no camera crews except for me. There was no one out there except for the police and the investigators. And so I snapped some photos of the body underneath the bag, and eventually was able to actually talk to a French police officer. And I asked him, I said, is this one of the ISIS jihadis who was involved in the Paris attack on Friday? And he said, yes. So we were able to get there, with perseverance and pushing through and trying over and over again, and we got it. And it's great to see one of those crazy loons in a body bag and not out there able to hurt anybody else. But at the end of the day, that's still not going to stop this stuff from happening, because you have a lot of people out there who are supporting him, especially the governments, who are allowing these guys to go out and continue these missions. And sure, then you have an entire town, Paris is completely just shook up. I went out last night briefly for about an hour and walked around, and there was no one out. And I went into different bars and stores, and I said, is this normal? And they said, no, people are scared. They don't want to go out. So, I mean, it's definitely has a toll on the economy, and people just are staying inside. And then you have what happened today with the explosions, the raids. You have a suicide bomber, a female at that, running out, setting herself off, killing herself and that police dog. And then we were able to witness the other terrorist that was killed. And like you said earlier, 7 other people were brought in. But I have some news as well. It just takes a second. From an update, the suspected Islamic militants uncovered in a Paris suburb by police were planning an attack on the French capital's La Défense business district, a source close to the investigation and 2 police sources said today. So these guys weren't just in hiding. These guys were actually active. They were trying to gather more people. This was a terrorist cell, and they were going to do more attacks throughout Paris. So that was stopped today.
Well, the reason it's important you got in there is we don't just believe governments when they say they've got somebody they've killed. There's a suicide bomber. We need to see it and document it. And that's why it's important that you got in there, Joe, and got that. I know you're going to be uploading more, but let me ask you this question. How on earth do you think the French president, the German chancellor, the U.S. president, and others think they're going to get away with bringing in record numbers of Islamicists when even the FBI admits a bunch of them are ISIS and are busting them even while Obama brings them in today? This is crazy.
Exactly. I mean, at the end of the day, we have to find out where these guys are being funded from. Who do they benefit from, and who are they really speaking for? You know, I highly doubt that, you know, a lot of these people in the government here want to allow this stuff to kind of happen. But there's somebody back there who's got money in their pocket, and they're pushing for it, and they're allowing those borders to stay open. They're allowing these people to come in.
Yeah, it's called Saudi Arabia that basically runs the White House to a great extent, and it's running this proxy war. Obama better have some aces in his hole, boy, because I'm telling you, I've never seen more brazen, arrogant, in-our-face behavior. There appear to be Arabic military-age men that Joe says are basically stalking them right now, taking photos. They've been followed by cars. They are below the Sacred Heart Cathedral in Paris that overlooks the city from the north towards the south. If you're a TV viewer, we're going to cut to some shots of the cathedral, and I'm going to have Zimmerman pan out over the city at night so you can see what our crew is seeing. But I want to take you now back to Joe, and then I want to finish up in this segment and have Joe move to another location so that they're safer, because reporters and others have been threatened. People have been attacked. There have been now, what, 8 attacks total, 6 that night, 2 others, and a lot of other reports that are just being pawned off as crime that I'm also seeing in the news. But Joe, you say that you're picking up on some folks basically stalking you?
Yeah, there's been 3 guys that have been kind of like walking around. They finally eventually left because of this van behind me. As you can see, it's full of police with submachine guns. So that definitely makes me feel a little bit better, because I am in a gun-free zone and I don't have that ability, that Second Amendment, like I do back in Texas, back in America, to protect myself from one of these guys. So it's definitely nice to have that right there. But yeah, these guys kept walking around. They're three guys, and they just kind of like taking a few pictures and looking at us, and they don't look happy at all. I mean, they looking at me like they, you know, like to kick my head in.
So, and you were telling us off air, they don't have the bearing of police who've been leaving you alone and been friendly. You're saying they had the bearing of, they looked Arabic?
Yes.
And so experience that in Iraq and Afghanistan. What did you pick up?
Just the way they're staying together. They're staying in a group, and they keep walking around, and they're trying to almost seems like they're trying to be intimidating by maybe scaring us to go away, or either to see if we'll move, then they can follow us somewhere else. So either way, I've got a good eye. I've been around this stuff before in combat, and we'll be all right.
Other points you want to add or need to add, developments that have been unfolding since we talked to you 23 hours ago?
Like I said, we got up this morning. We heard the initial reports about the raid that began around 4:20 a.m. Paris time. I actually slept with my windows open, so I actually heard a loud boom from where I was at, and I didn't really quite think much of it until when I finally woke up and looked at my phone and saw what was going on. I said, hey, we got to get out there. We need to go find out what's going on. So we headed out to called St. Denis. It's basically like a suburb northeast of Paris. It's about a 30-minute drive out there. And like you said, just tons and tons of people. And the thing to think about is, you know, the way ISIS is, the way a lot of these people are, they go to these events after they happen. They sit there in the crowd and film. You know, it makes you think how many actual active jihadists were in that crowd laughing about what's going on, about the attacks on Friday, taking pictures, shooting video, trying to get out information about people they might find as a threat to send back to their base in Syria or Iraq, to wherever they have their different leaders, and planning on things like that. So it's definitely something to think about. This is an ongoing situation. And like you said earlier, they're expecting more attacks to happen over the holidays, and it's a possibility. And like you said, they're allowing, even though these attacks happen, they are going to allow more of these refugees to come through. And like I've said before, not all of them are going to be bad, but all it takes is 2 or 3 of them to get together, get a plan, and do something bad. And we saw what happened on Friday. We saw what happened with Charlie Hebdo. Horrible stuff. And people need to remember that that can happen in America.
Well, we've already had the recruiting centers hit, Fort Hood, the rest of it, and our media just spins it and says it's not jihad. How are they going to do that when hundreds get killed at a shopping mall or at a college or at a Jewish center? How are they going to cover that up, Joe Biggs?
I mean, I don't get how Salon can even come out and say that they do this because they're stressed out. I've been stressed out. I've been in combat, and not one time did I ever think about strapping a suicide vest to myself and blowing myself up. I mean,
let's get Zimmerman to pan to the right there. We've got military troops patrolling with assault rifles there. That looks like military, and we've got jogger going by. Those are French military, aren't they, Joe?
Yes, sir, they are. And they've been around to a lot of different places. During the daytime, you haven't seen that much activity as far as a lot of patrolling. You'll see some soldiers from now, every now and then. But at nighttime, that's really when you start to see them come out and they're patrolling, you know, with the guns in hand, ready to go. So that's what they're expecting, is something to happen in the cover of darkness like it's happened before.
Again, I'll go back to this question. How is the establishment going to get away with it when there are more attacks? Clearly, this is out of Syria. This is the failed ISIS armies are coming into the West. This is their retreat forward into their next theater. They admit that. They said that back in February. They're following a plan. There's going to be a whole bunch more attacks now. Undoubtedly, we've been predicting it. It's here. I want to come back to you and do five more minutes, Joe, and ask you that question and ask the listeners that question. What is the end game here? This is crazy town. 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. Especially if you're in Europe or in Paris or in Belgium, we'd love to hear from you. Or if you're military or police, we'd like to get your take on this. I mean, we know they're going to take our liberties because of this, but they're going to get in trouble. I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2.
I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there.
Take advantage of this at InfoWarsLife.com.
And why wearing a Hillary for President t-shirt might get you punched in the face.
They thought it said Hillary for President. He said, I was seconds away from sending my bar back over here to punch you in the face. Since you're wearing a Hillary for Prison shirt, you don't have to buy drinks here. Everything's on the house.
Hillary's not surging, I tell you that. They're not saying that. They're not saying that. Thank you.
Donald Trump endorses Hillary for Prison. Get your Hillary for Prison 2016 t-shirt at the InfoWars store. And on the back it says, legalize freedom. Show your disapproval of Hillary by buying your t-shirt today.
But what she's done is criminal.
This is an American president. Just add puppet, then vote and repeat every 4 years.
Is this what we can expect at an NFL or NBA game in the very near future? As the Bilderberg puppets of doom run civilization into an engineered grinding halt, shielded by faux blameless compassion. Call it fear-mongering, I call it reality. Folks, things are getting dangerous. House GOP Caucus Chairman Glenn Quesada said, we need to activate the Tennessee National Guard and stop them from coming into the state, i.e. the refugees, by whatever means we can. Note to bleeding heart liberals that disagree with the previous statement from a man of action. The blood of Americans will be on your hands because of your fake, brainwashed liberal stance that could get us all killed. The jihadists are already in the United States, a complete nightmare scenario, courtesy of our commander-in-chief. The Daily Mail reports, nearly 70 arrests have already been made of homegrown and refugee jihadists in the United States, including 6 Bosnian immigrants, 3 from Missouri, 2 from Illinois, and 1 from New York, were charged in February. with sending money and military equipment to extremist groups in Syria, including ISIS and the Al-Qaeda-affiliated Al-Nusra Front. According to court documents, the group conspired via phone, Facebook, and email, such as Beach for places like Iraq and Syria, while using PayPal and Western Union to send funds to fanatics. Two Minneapolis U.S. natives went to Syria and died fighting for ISIS. This exposed the Midwest as a hotbed for ISIS recruits. The growing Somali refugee population in the Midwest has already produced 8 Somali friends who were charged with conspiracy to provide material support to a foreign terrorist organization. One of those charges includes 20-year-old Abdurrahman Yassin Dodd, who was born at a refugee camp in Kenya and arrived in the U.S. when he was 9, according to the Minnesota Star Tribune. Other incidents include a former U.S. Air Force serviceman from New Jersey joined the Mujahideen. 2 cousins, one a National Guard soldier from Illinois, plotted a raid on a military facility where they intended on slaughtering 120 militia. A Yemeni-born naturalized American pizza and chicken shop owner in Rochester, New York, was allegedly funneling jihadist recruits to a Syrian welcoming camp for training. Gunmen Elton Simpson and Nadir Souf were shot dead by police attempting to storm Pamela Geller's Muhammad art exhibit and contest. Austin, Texas native white Muslim convert Michael Todd Wolf was arrested at the George Bush International Intercontinental Airport traveling to fly to Syria to train with jihadists. Wolf was sentenced to 7 years in prison. Self-described lone wolf for ISIS, Miguel Diaz, a 46-year-old convicted felon and Cuban immigrant, was jailed for 10 years in July on firearm charges. 21-year-old American Christopher Cornell bought an arsenal which he planned to use to launch a terror assault on Washington, D.C., declaring his affiliation to ISIS during a jail cell TV interview. Earlier this year, Judicial Watch revealed that the Obama administration gave more than 1,500 terrorists asylum in the United States in 2014. According to the government watchdog, the administration let 1,519 inadmissible foreigners embroiled in terrorism into the U.S. last year because the crimes were committed while under duress. Until Obama put the rubber stamp on bringing 10,000 Syrian refugees into the U.S. with no agreeable vetting process to weed out the jihadists, getting to America was difficult.
This is the same group whose spokesperson is bragging that group could actually take over the United States of America. Have a listen for yourself.
Now, our president and the puppets of Europe are literally aiding and abetting a military invasion against their own citizens. John Bound for InfoWars.com.
These women and children, you know, given the vouchers, you know, more or less released into our society, is they're not tested for TB before they're released into our society.
Once they get here, the amount of damage that they do.
Property damage is staggering, and if you'll look at the fences south of the checkpoint, there's a 12-mile stretch there where the ranchers along the highway cannot run cattle on the ranch because those fences are constantly being destroyed on a daily basis. And our perimeter fences around the rest of the ranch are constantly being compromised. Last week, the boys spent 2 days out here fixing 5 or 6 spots where the fences were either cut or torn down by large groups of people coming through. We have windmills in every pasture, and what they'll do, they'll come up and break the float off where the water will come out of the pipe coming straight out of the ground, and the water will be pumped out on the ground instead of the water holding the trough, and with that it'll leave the pasture without water. It's a big problem. We have one windmill that usually averages damage at least once or twice a month.
And so ram and running is pretty common in this area.
Oh yeah, yeah. Bailouts and running through the fences is an everyday occurrence, sometimes 7 or 8 or 10 times a day.
If there is a dead migrant on your land, would you just naturally look for vultures?
Usually, it's the buzzards, the vultures. You know, half the time we see vultures, it could be an illegal alien that died on your property.
You see a lot of the tragic stories of the immigrants dying of dehydration, and they're next to a road. They could have gotten water.
One of the last deaths we've had on our property was, you know, right there on the highway on our fence line. And, you know, they found her, deceased there.
She died 5 feet from a crawl hole, 30 feet from the highway. So she almost made it. She had one sock on her foot, $3 in her pocket, and a little Spanish Bible, and that was it.
On the ground, the agents are frustrated. Morale is low. They don't like to see their work, you know, when they've apprehended these people, they don't like to see them just released into our society. They want them deported as much as you and I.
All these Border Patrol agents we know are dedicated, patriotic people. We depend on them to be able to live here. I mean, if we didn't have the Border Patrol here, we probably wouldn't be here. I mean, we absolutely depend on them for our safety here. Equip them with the proper equipment that they need, night vision equipment, the latest night vision equipment, more boots on the ground. You know, we probably wouldn't be dealing with what we're dealing with right now, but that's not the case. You know, that's not happening.
They had asked years ago for more help, and instead they were cut. And now all of a sudden they're finding, the government's finding all this money to house these illegals and feed them and cater them when this could have been avoided.
The criminal element is still coming through, and there's a substantial amount of that traffic slipping through here, and we're experiencing it every day. We've had a lot of traffic this week. There's been a number of encounters with these guys. There's imminent danger out here. These people have criminal intent. It would be nothing for us to be killed and the house ransacked and vehicles stolen.
But there's only one way for this criminal element, the gang members, the young men that have been deported multi times, and this is their only route through. And this is what I'm seeing is all young males. I would say the last 50 or 60, illegal immigrants that I've seen out here have been, 90%, 95% male.
A lot of these teenage boys coming from El Salvador and Guatemala, to be able to survive in Guatemala City, Guatemala, you know, by the time they're 13 years old, if they're not a gang member, they don't live. And that's what we're experiencing here. And
they've murdered somebody.
Yeah. Well, they've murdered somebody, or they had to be a gang member to be able to survive. We know for a fact that these gang members that are coyotes that lead the humans through here are ruthless and heartless. And if somebody gets cramped up, they walk off and leave them. They don't call 911 to give a location where this person is. They tell them they're going to die. Sometimes they abuse them, beat them up a little bit, slap them around, and then leave them. And that's usually where they die.
What advice would you give people visiting this area of Texas?
Well, everybody just knows that, you know, you need to be very vigilant. You don't want to let any of these people get too close to you. You want to keep a distance. You want to keep a cell phone with you. And a lot of this country doesn't have cell phone service, but you definitely need to be armed. And your Second Amendment rights are very, very crucial to be able to live here. It's way past time to stand up and secure the border. No question, there's a huge criminal element coming in here, going to every city in the United States, even Washington, D.C. People from terrorist countries, countries that are deemed special interest countries, pouring in here undetected. It's time to step up and shut the border down.
And that was an excerpt from The Vault that you can see the full video of on the Alex Jones channel on YouTube, where you can keep up with the rest of our great reports. Reporters Paul Joseph Watson and Joe Biggs out in Paris, you can see their reports there as well. And don't forget to go to PrisonPlanet.tv. You can get yourself a free trial. You can see the nightly news, the special reports, the rants, all right there on PrisonPlanet.tv. Well, I'm Jakari Jackson from the InfoWars Command Center, and we'll see you again tomorrow night.
Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams apiece. It has 3 milligram, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. and it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.